Perhaps the most important tefillah on Yom HaKippurim is Musaf. It's the most dramatic, it's the center. And within tefillah's Musaf, I would say that the heart of tefillah's Musaf, which is the heart of the day, is the story about the Avodah. You know, on this day, we read in the Kriyas HaTorah about the Avodah from Parshas Achrimos, and we know that the Avodah had to be implemented by Aaron HaKohen, who represents for all eternity the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to do all the Avodos, and he brought the Kapara on behalf of Klal Yisrael, on behalf of the Kohenim, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The Avodah that we read in Musaf, unfortunately we read it too fast, too quickly, you know, there's so much there. But if we only had time to study it, and to get a feeling for all the intricacies, all the complexities of the Avodas Kohen Gadol. Of course, today we have the Itzumo Shel Yom Mechaper, but we're lacking the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. And that's significant in terms of the type of Kapara that we get today. My Rebbe Zichron of Vracha used to always reminisce about what it was like in his childhood to watch Reb Chaim daven. And whenever he got to the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim, it was such a powerful experience for him. He sort of closed his eyes and transformed himself as if he were in the Beis HaMikdash itself. This was the most powerful experience. Yom Kippur to Rav Soloveitchik was everything. And that was his whole essence. In fact, the greatness of the Avodah that we recite in the Musaf service, I like to say is the following. You know, they say a great speaker is someone who within one speech could bring you from laughter to tears and vice versa. That's really the two essential moods that you'll see in the Avodah. On the one hand, exhilaration, you know, Ashrei Ayin Ra'as HaKol Eileh, you know, to see the Kohen Gadol and imagine him in his mind as he goes into the Kodesh Kodoshim with the Avodas HaKtoris and he comes out Bli Pega, the Kohen Gadol sending the Sawyer out to the Midbar and the ribbon, the Lashon Shel Zahuris changes colors, it changed from crimson red to white and that symbolized the Kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. You can imagine what a simcha it was. And then in the Avodah service, from that mood of joy and ecstasy, we immediately make this transformation. We're almost a sharp turn downward to, I will almost call them kinos. They represent a different day of the year. The mood now changes drastically from one of simcha to one of avelus. If I had to choose one day in the Jewish calendar year that this would be typical of it, what day do you think I would have in mind? Tisha B'Av, yeah, it would be Tisha B'Av, not Yom HaKippurim. And it's just amazing, because in the aftermath of the Avodah, after those many, many kinnis or piyutim that we recite, you know, about the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Kohen Gadol, we don't have the Avodah, immediately following is the Eila Ezkara, the Asar Rugei Malchus. It's amazing that the Mesadri HaTfila was so sensitive to place that particular crying, tragic experience of the Asar Rugei Malchus, the Arzei Alevana, to put it somewhere early in the Avodah service would be totally inappropriate. We're in a state of simcha. But once we've realized that, you know, despite the beauty of the Marikoyim, we don't have the Marikoyim, we don't have the simcha, we don't have the ability to bring the Sarah Mishtaleach. At that point, after we recite all those dirges, all those kinnis and lamentations, now we're ready for the Asar Rugei Malchus. The mood has changed drastically. But what we want to focus on in the short amount of time that we have, this will probably be part one, I don't know when we'll get to do part two, is the simcha aspect. You know, what was it like? You know, in this complexity of the Avodah, the Seder Avodah Yom HaKippurim, and by the way, the halach of Seder with regard to Yom HaKippurim is even more critical than the halach of Seder with regard to the Leil HaPesach. If one were to switch around some of the recitations and perhaps even the Achilus Matzah and the Achilus Morer, he would still maintain the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But in the case of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Seder is critical. The the five times that the Kohen Gadol changed his begadim from Big Day Zov to Big Day Lovin and vice versa, the ten tibulim, the tfilos, and everything had to go in a certain order. And the Kohen Gadol shifted from the Kodesh, the Heichal, to the Pnim, to the Kodesh Kodashim, and back and forth. And in between, each time he changed his garments, there was a tefillah before and a tefillah after. And all the avodos had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Any other Kohen would be considered like a Zar with regard to avodos Yom HaKippurim, the same way a Zar is possible if he's not a Kohen. If the avod of the Karbon is the whole year round, on Yom HaKippurim, anyone but a Kohen Gadol is considered as the status of a Zar as far as the avod is concerned. And if you take a look, even a superficial reading of the parsha of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim from Parshas Achrimos, you'll see in Perek Tezayin from Sefer Vayikra, we're going to focus on what I think is the lave. You know, I have no doubt that this is the heart of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, the apex. And that is the Avodah of the Shnei Asi'irim. The Torah says in Pasuk Hey, Umeis Adas Bnei Yisrael, which means from the Trumas HaLishka, the money that's collected from the entire community of Israel, from that money, Yikach Shnei Se'irei Izim Lechatos. The two Se'irim were taken. And what was, although the two Se'irim were identical, they were fundamentally different in terms of their avodah, in terms of their kiyum. In Pasuk Vav, the Torah tells us, Vehikriv Aaron, again, Aaron is representative of the Kohen Gadol for all generations, Espar HaChatos HaShalo. So first the Torah addresses what's called the Paro Shel Kohen, and on that par, the Kohen Gadol will recite vidui after vidui, a vidui on behalf of himself, a vidui on behalf of his wife, a vidui on behalf of Echov HaKohanim, to be mechaper on the Averis of Kohuna, if Chas V'Sholem HaKohen went in to the Kodesh B'Tumah, what's called Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav. And in Pasuk Zayin, V'lokach Eshnei HaSeirim V'hemet Oso Lefnei Hashem Pesach Oel Moed. From this context, the Avodas HaSeirim is identical to the Avod of any Karbon. It has to be Lefnei Hashem, Roy Lovel Lefnei Hashem. The Pella here is that the Pasuk is referring to Shnei HaSeirim. We know that of these two serum, only one of them was brought as a carbon, with Shechita and Zrika Mos Adam, with Haktara, all the dinim of Kodshim, and that's the Sawyer Lashem. The second Sawyer was La Azazel, that was sent to the Midbar. And yet, there's a separate mitzvah of Shnei Asirim Hamidotam Lifnei Hashem Pesach Ol Moed. And then the Torah describes in detail what Aaron had to do. There's a whole process called Hagrola, a lottery to determine which of the two Sirim would be Lashem, a Chatos, which would be La Azazel. And the Mishnayos and Yuma describe a Kalfi, this was a certain vessel, and into this Kalfi they placed two Gorolos, which were made out of either metal, it could be made out of Kesef or Zov, it could be made out of Eitz, anything is kosher for Kalfi, just the two Kalfis, the two Hagrolos had to be identical. And the Torah says here in Pasuk Ches, V'nosan Aaron al Shnei Asi'irim Gorolos, Goral Echad Lashem V'Goral Echad Lazozel. This is the Avoda of the Haloas, raising up the Gorolos Mina Kalfi. The Mishnah describes how one Sawyer was on the Kohen Gadol's right, the other on his left. The Kohen Gadol would dig his hands into the Kalfi. He would pick up two Gorolos. The right Gorol he would place on the head of the Sawyer that was situated to his right, and the left on the Sawyer that was situated to his left. Goral Echad Lashem, hopefully on his right hand, because the right hand is always considered the yad of preference. He picked up the Goral Hashem, that's a great bracha, placed it on the Sawyer to his right, and dedicated it Lashem. And on the left, La'azazel. What did he do with the sire that was chosen, Lashem, that was designated as a carbon? The hikriv Aaron es ha-sire sha'olol of agor Lashem. Vaso chatos. We're going to have to discuss what these two words mean. Vaso chatos. He's got to designate and dedicate this sa'ir, the one which was chosen by the Goral, Lashem, as a chatos. And he's makriv it. What happens to the second sa'ir? The Torah says in Pasuk Yud, Vasa'ir asher ola lov ha-goral la'azazel, yomad chai lifnei Hashem. It too is brought lifnei Hashem. But here the key word is lechaper olav. The word lechaper always represents the essential heart, if you will, of a carbon. A carbon is lechapara. In general, for all of Kodshim, the mechaper is what's called zrikas adam. It's the zrikas adam agabim mizbeach that generates the kapara. That's the chalos of the carbon. Like in Kiddushin, you give a woman kesef shtar or bia, and that generates a chalos ishus. So in carbon, in kodshim, it's the zrikas adam that generates the chalos kapara. And the Torah uses the same word, lechaper, here in the context of the goral azazel. It doesn't specify what action is going to create that kapara, is going to generate the carbon and its effectiveness, because there is no zrikas adam with regard to goral azazel. There's only vidui, as we'll soon see. And then l'shalecho sola zozel, and please emphasize the next word. This has to be underlined. Hamidbara. Hamidbara means la midbar. V'shilach means that the Kohen Gadol has to appoint a shliach. That shliach has to take the sire to a place called Azazel. And where is that? To the midbar. Now we're going to skip a few psukim to see the culmination of this avodah. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'somach Aaron Eshtei Yodov, Al Rosh HaSoyer HaChai, V'svadolov Es Kol Avonos B'nei Yisrael. In the Psukim in the middle, he's done, he's achieved the avoda of the Chatos, the Soyer LeChatos, Lashem. Now he's ready for the avoda, in quotation marks, of the Soyer LaZazel. And the Torah describes smicha. Smicha is when Aaron rests his two hands, on the sa'ir, on the head of the sa'ir, of this goat. Visvad alav, and he recites the vidui on behalf of all the averis of Bnei Yisrael. And the Torah describes three categories of averis. There's avon, there's pesha, and there's chit. Chit, avon, and pesha. And the Torah describes how symbolically, through the process of vidui, all the averos, the avonos of Klal Yisrael, transferred v'nosan osam al rosh ha-soyer, onto the head of the goat. V'shilach bi'ad iti amidbara, again the word amidbara, the ish iti, who's serving as the shliach of the Kohen Gadol, because all the avodah this day has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, the ish iti, who may be a Kohen, may not be a Kohen, but he is the shliach of the Kohen Gadol. Through the process of shlichus, the Kohen Gadol is the one who's fulfilling the avoda, in this case the avoda of the Sarah Mishtaleah. And then finally, in the last pasuk in this parasha, pasuk Chav Beis, in the parasha I mean of Sarah Mishtaleah, the Torah shifts its language, no longer uses the word Hamidbara, but as we'll see, v'nasa asoyer olav eskal avonosam el eretz gzeirah v'shilach asoyer bamidbar. Not Hamidbara, but Bamidbar, within the Midbar. It sounds like the Torah is commanding a process which moves the Sawyer from a certain specific location in the Midbar to another location in the Midbar. And we'll have to study that. So let's just summarize a few points here that we get from the parasha. The apex of the Avodah, the heart of the Avodah, is the Avodah of Shnei Seirim. And on the one hand, there's something going on in the Kodesh, not just with regard to the Soyer Hashem, but also with regard to the Soyer LaZazel. In both cases, the Torah requires that we set up these two Seirim, Pesach Ol Moed. In both cases, the Torah requires a Hagrola, Through this hagrola, we designate one soil Hashem for a chatos, the other lazazel. Then what's important for us to know is that when the soil lazazel is standing in front of the Pesach Ol Moed, the Kohen Gadol recited Vidui al Shem Kol Yisrael, and then the Kohen Gadol appointed a shliach. The shliach would bring in Hamidbara, Lamidbar, and this goat would carry on at the Avonis of Bnei Yisrael, following the Vidui of the Kohen Gadol Bifnim, all the way Ba Midbar, someplace in the Midbar. And the Mishnah in Yuma, in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samat Zayin, you'll see that the second source on your page speaks that different minhagim that took place with regard to the Soira Mishtaleach. The original minhag was that they took the Lashon Shel Zahuris and they tied it down Pesach Ulam Mibifnim in the Kodesh. And how did they know when the Avoda, the Kiyum of Soira Mishtaleach, was complete? They would see in the Pnim, in the Kodesh, this Lashon Shel Zahuris turn to white. At what point in the sequence, in the chronology of events, did it actually turn miraculously from red to white? Kevan Sheigia Soil Amidbar. Remember the pasuk said Amidbara Hayamalbu. So when the soil reached the Midbar, that's when it turned white. The mitzvah of the Soira Mishtaleach was completed, according to this opinion, the moment that the Soira reached the Midbar. However, the Gemara quotes another minhag later that reflects a different shita, and that is that they tied the Lashon Zahuris down to the head of the Soira, and the other half of the Lashon Shel Zahuris was at the foot of the mountain, the tzuk, from which they pushed the soil off. When the soil went down, that's when the Lashon HaZahuris that was tied to the foot of the mountain turned white, and at that point, Naseis Mitzvaso and the Kapar of Klal Yisrael was complete. The Rambam, in fact, paskins in Perek Gimel Milchas Avodas Yom HaKippurim, like the latter opinion, that the mitzvah of the Soira Mishtaleach was only complete at what point? After the Shiluach. When it was, not when it reached the Midbar, but after it was pushed off the precipice. And that's when the Lashon Shel Zahuris would turn to white. That's when Naseis Mitzvaso and the Kapar was complete. Let's take a look now at the Rambam in Hilchas Avodas Yom HaKippur in Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel. The Rambam describes the process of Hagrola, and he says something that's very difficult about the process of Hagrola. Taraf Bekalfi, the Kohen Gadol puts his hands into this vessel that we discussed before, Behela Shnei Gorolos B'Shtei Yadov. He lifts up the two lots with his two hands, respectively. L'shem shnei haseirim uposeach yadav. Im shel shem, the one that has Hashem's name on it, olav yamino, haskan omer ishi kohen gadol hag beyamincha. And when the kohen gadol raised his right hand, it indicated that the gorol Hashem came up in his right hand. V'nosein shnei gorolos al shneiem. This is called Nesina. If you recall, the Pasuk said, Pasuk Ches that we quoted earlier, V'nasan Aaron, etc. The Nesina, or the Hanach of the Shnei Goros, was made on the heads of the respective Se'irim, Shal Yamin al Yamin, Shal Smol al Shal Smol. Now the Rambam raises the following question. This process, what is absolutely critical? What's indispensable and what's dispensable? The Rambam says the following. We have to distinguish between two aspects of the process. Im lo nasan lo ikev. The nesina itself, that means the hanocha of the agrolos on the two se'irim, that you could do away with, so to speak. In other words, it's only an aspect that enhances the mitzvah of and the kiyum of the se'irin. But it's not likuva, el shechiser mitzvah. Sha'anocha mitzvah she'ena ma'keves. However, says the Rambam, the hagrola itself, hagrola ma'keves. Without the hagrola, the mitzvah has not been completed. The hagrola is critical. And now the Rambam asks himself a question. Afal pi she'ena avoda. We know that the avodos are limited to haktara, to kabbal sadam, alachs nazrika sadam. Hagrola doesn't fit into any of those categories. You cannot classify it and define it as an avoda. Nevertheless, the Rambam says, even though it's not an avoda, it's still indispensable. It's absolutely critical. And he doesn't tell you why. But as a result of this distinction between hanocha and agrola, as if to say that distinction isn't fundamental, surely it's fundamental, because hanocha is eina makeves and agrola is makeves, the Rambam adds another distinction, another nafkamina. Lefichach, says the Rambam, hanocha ksheira bizar. Zar means anyone who's not a kohen gadol in this context. So the hanocha itself could be done by someone other than the kohen gadol. But halias hagorolos, the process of lifting up, choosing the two gorolos, and therefore thereby designating the two seer respectively, lashem lazazel, min akalfi, out of this vessel, psua bizar. It's disqualified. It must be the kohen gadol and no one but the kohen gadol. So hagrola requires kohen gadol. Nesino hanocha gabi rosh haseirim is ksheira bizar. Hanocha is not ma'akev, but agrola is ma'keves. And since it's ma'keves, says the Rambam, it must be done, implemented by the kohen gadol. But the question is obvious, and this is going to be the Lech HaMishnah's question. Is it really true that anything that's ma'akev requires kahuna and zaris is a posel? Fekta Lech HaMishnah, what are you going to do with shechita? Shechita is not an avoda, but yet it's ma'keves. Without the shechita, we cannot even begin the process, kick off the process of the avoda of any kohen, of any karban. Shechita is always indispensable. All the other avodos, with the kabbal sadam, olachsa, zrikas, that they're all a result or chronologically subsequent to the shechita, and yet shechita is ksheira bizar. So, if the Rambam is saying that Hagrola, despite the fact that it's not an avoda, still requires kohen gadol and a zar is possible, says the Rambam, why? Even though it's not an avoda, it's possible bizarre because of the fact that it's ma'keves. What about shechita? Says the Lech HaMishnah, shechita is ma'keves. It's not an avoda and it's ksheira bizarre. So you see that even if something is ma'akev, it's indispensable, nevertheless, if it's lacking the status of an avoda, it's ksheira bizar. So agrola fits the same description. Even though it is ma'akeves, nevertheless, since it's not an avoda, it should be ksheira bizar. How can the Rambam justify the psul zaros and agrola just because it's ma'akev? You must have an agrola. It's indispensable. We know that you could have something else that's indispensable, namely shechita, and yet since it's not navoda, it's ksheira bizar. Truth be told, the Rambam, although he has to suffer the onslaught of the Lech HaMishnah, is really just codifying a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says explicitly in Masechet Yumim, in the fourth parak, like the Rambam. And the Rambam says, based on the Yerushalmi, that Nesina is not ma'akev, but hagrola is ma'akev. We don't have time now to go through the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is very difficult in its language. But be that as it may, the same kasha to Lech HaMishnah, the objection to Lech HaMishnah that he raised against the Rambam, would be raised against the Yerushalmi. Why would hagrola be different than shechita? Shechita is certainly ma'akevus, like hagrola, and yet it's ksheira bizar because it's not navoda. So we should apply the same rule to hagrola. Why should agrola be psula bizar? Now, to add insult to injury, there's another stira to the Rambam. The Gemara says in Yuma on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Eliezer, Askan v'Kohen Gadol Machnisin Yadon b'Kalfi. Both the Skan and the Kohen Gadol would place their hands into the Kalfi. So this is very strange. The Skan, with all due respect, is a Zar, as far as Avodas Yom HaKippurim. If the Rambam has just established that Hagrola is Psula Bizar, anyone but the Kohen Gadol would be possible for the Hagrola. How then could the Bryce and Yuma establish that the Skan participated together with the Kohen Gadol in Hagrola? So those are the two kashas, the Lechem Mishnah and the Brisa in Yuma.
And the Gemara in Yuma, we're saying that the Skan actually lifted something out also.
Yeah. The Gemara goes through a whole discussion there on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We're not going to go through that now. But basically, the Gemara's conclusion is that the Skan was in charge of the Hagrola Lazazel. In other words, if everything went smoothly, then what happened was the Kohen Gadol would lift up the Hagrola Lashem, and then he would let the Skan take care of the second Hagrola. But if it didn't go smoothly, then the Kohen Gadol would have to do the entire Hagrola. But be that as it may, it comes out that the, at least in certain circumstances, the Skan would participate in the Hagrola. But Lechora, he's a Zar. So in order to explain the Rambam, the Rav Zichron Levracha quotes a sugi in Yuma Lamed Tes Amud Beis on the second side of the Daf. We don't have it here, I don't think, on the Maromakomos page. I apologize for that. I'll just tell you over quickly what the Gemara discusses there. The Gemara quotes a machlokas between Rav Yana and Rav Yochanan as to whether or not Hagrola Ma'keves. We pass like Rav Yana that Hagrola Ma'keves. And that's why the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, says the Aliyas Hagrola Ma'kalfi Psula Bizar. That was the Chiddush of the Rambam. That since we pass like Rav Yana that Hagrola is Ma'keves, therefore it's Psula Bizar. That was the Rambam's Chiddush. But in that very same sugya of Rav Yana and Rav Yochanan, the Gemara brings a brisa to prove, to establish that Rav Yana is correct, that Agrola Ma'keves. Toshma, the Gemara says, Vaso Chates. You remember at the end of Pasuk Ches, the Torah says, Vaso Chates. And I told you to emphasize those words. Now, this Pasuk Vaso Chates is talking about the kiddush of the Soyer Lashem. Right? The Soyer Lashem has to be consecrated for the Korban Chatos, for the Soyer Lachatos Lashem. So the Brisa says the following, Vasol Chatos, Hagorol Osehu Chatos, V'ein Hashem Osehu Chatos. In other words, when you read the words, Vasol Chatos, you might get the impression, and certainly Rabbi Yochanan would maintain that position, that once the Hagrola was done, and through the Hagrola, the Soir, let's call it on the right for our purposes, was designated to be Chatos Lashem, at that point the Kohen Gadol would be Makdish, that Soir, what's called Kedushas Per, and designated and consecrated as Chatos Lashem. But the Rish says no. There's no need, even though the Torah says Vasol Chatos, for the Kohen Gadol to designate that Soyer Lashem. There's something that substitutes for Kiddush Peh. And what's that? The Gorol itself. HaGorol Oseu Chatos, V'ein Hashem Oseu Chatos. It comes out from this Gemara that the machlokas, whether Hagrola Ma'keves or Eina Ma'keves, really depends upon two interpretations of the Pasuk Vasol Chatos. According to one interpretation, the Hagrola is only necessary as part of the process of choosing in through this lottery which Soyer would be Lashem, which would be Lazazel. But the actual process of designating the Soyer Lashem is done by the Kohen Gadol himself. Who will say Uchatos? If on the other hand, we maintain that the Gorol creates the Chal Shem Chatos, Then we support, we substantiate the sheet of Rabbi Yonai that Hagrola Makevis. In other words, what the Rav is saying is the following: Yesh Lachkar. We should have the following chakir. Hagrola is a maisa. But what's the ikar, what's the goal that the Hagrola accomplishes? Is it just a separate maisa, like we spoke about, Hanocha al Gabi al Rosh HaSoyer? Or, no, the Hagrola accomplishes something much more fundamental. And that is, it creates the shame Chatas Lashem. If I hold that Vasol Chatas refers to the Kohen Gadol verbally pronouncing that this Soyer is Chatas Lashem, then Hagrola is just a maisa Hagrola. If, on the other hand, the Vasol Chatas, as the Brisa is quoted to support Rabbi Yonai, defines Vasol Chatas as the Goral Oseu Chatas, and the Goral itself is not just a maisa Hagrola, but it generates the Chalos Kodesh Lashem, then Hagrol is Makeves. Says the Rambam, since we passing like Rav Yonai, like this Braisa, that Vasol Chatos Hagrol Oseu Chatos, that's why a Zar is possible. Ein Achinami, the Torah is Maisa. If Hagrol is only to be defined and classified as a Maisa, it's part of the Kiyum of the Shnei Asirim, that process, then it's no different than Anocha. It's not an Avoda. And therefore, the Lecha Mishnah would be absolutely correct that insofar as the fact that Agrol is not an Avoda, it doesn't require a Kohen Gadol. Just like there's no Psul Zoros in Shechita because Shechita is not an Avoda, so too an Agrol has a separate Maisa. If it's not an Avoda, there would be no Psul Zoros. But the Rama Paskins Hagrola Makevis. What's the Yisod of Hagrola Makevis? Why is Hagrola absolutely indispensable? Not B'Torah's Maisa, but B'Torah's Mechil Chalos Shem Kodesh. It's the process of Hagrola which generates the Kedusha in the Karmon. Says the Rambam, Lefichach. Therefore, is Hagrola Psula Bizar. Every aspect of Kodesh in the Avodas Hayom of Yom HaKippur must be done through a Kohen Gadol. Anyone less than a Kohen Gadol will not suffice. And certainly in the process of Kiddush, of setting up the Soyer as a Karman Chatos, to be Koveh the Soyer, that for sure requires a Kohen Gadol. That's a Dover Poshet. Only the Kohen Gadol could be Makadesh and designate the Soyer, either verbally or, according to Rav Yonai, through the Hagrola. So since the Hagrola serves the purpose of Vasol Chatos is referring to Aaron HaKohen in the Pasuk. Go back to the Pasuk. He is the one who is Koveh the Soyer. Oh, if this be the case, says the Rav, we gain another teretz. We can defend the Rambam against the second kasha. The first kasha from Shechita is no kasha, because even though I grant you the Lechem Mishnah's premise is absolutely correct, that which is not an avoda but is a separate maisa in the karbon does not require kain, and there's no psul zoros. And insofar as Hagrola, let's say according to Rabbi Yochanan, is a separate maisa, and since it's not an avoda, there would be no psul zoros. The only reason the Rambam paskins that there's a psul zoros in Hagrola is because Hagrola is not just a maisa. Hagrola is to be koveh the soyer. V'yasol chatas requires Aaron Kohen Gadol. But now we can answer the second question: how is it that the Brisa invites the skan to participate in Hagrola? The skan has the status of a zar with regard to the Avodas Hayom. How then, since the Rambam passes a zar in Hagrola, is it feasible for the skan to participate? And what's the answer? Yossi, can you figure out the answer? What happens once you koveya one soyer, Lashem, is automatically the second soyer is nikba Lazozel. There's no need for the Kohen Gadol to be koveh the Shnei Se'irim. Once he's koveh one Sawyer, then by process of elimination, ipso facto, the second Sawyer is designated as the Sawyer Mishtaleach.
But then why is it only if it's for Hashem?
So I'm saying the following, that the Karban Lashem requires a Kiddush Peh. Hagrola substitutes for Kiddush Peh. That was the Torah's Kiddush of Asol Chatos. Once the Kohen Gadol has lifted the Hagrola, and according to the Braisa, Hagrola Olseu Chatos, and we pass in therefore that Hagrola Ma'akevus like Rav Yanai, then the Skan Kohen Gadol could participate in the Hagrola Lazazel. Why? Because the Skan Kohen Gadol is not being Koveh the Sar Lazazel. It was already Nikba Lazazel. Ipso facto. Once the Kohen Gadol designated the Sar Lashem, then willy-nilly the second Karban, the second Sar, is Nikba Lazazel. There's no need for a process of doing so.
No, that's only if the one for Hashem was first.
And if not, then the Kohen Gadol would have to do both.
Right. So I'm saying.
So when under what circumstances would the Skan Kohen Gadol be able to jump in?
Only
after the Hagrola Rishona was done.
But what if if it doesn't work like that? So then why can't you could say that it's also revealed that the
in the reverse way? Yeah. Okay.
But
so that
we don't allow him
that you have to see the sugi, because the sugi is assuming that Vosol Chatos requires Kohen Gadol. So that's as far as Chatos Lashem. Yossi, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, quickly. Just according to the Rambam, that the
speak a little louder.
The Hagrola is not
not Avoda.
So what is it? Such that only needs the coin needs to do it. Meaning, it's
only to be Koveya, to be Koveya the Karban as Lashem. All the Karbanos that are brought as part of the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim have to be designated by the Kohen Gadol.
But that's not called part of the Avoda.
That's not called the Avoda. That's only a Hechsher Avoda.
Ah,
but even insofar as it's a Hechsher Avoda, it's so critical to set up the Avoda that it requires Kohen Gadol.
Okay.
That was never a distinction. If you turn to page 2 of Yomar Makomos, the fourth paragraph down, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchus Tshuva says the following. He says, "Sara mishtaleh lefishu kapara al kol Yisrael kohen gadol misvada lov al loshen kol Yisrael shenemar." And the Rambam quotes the pasuk that we saw earlier. This is pasuk Chaf Aleph. Visvada olov es kol avonos bnei Yisrael. So before we read the next part of this Rambam, the next part of this halacha, let's just ask the following question. Why is the Rambam so dramatic here? He emphasizes right up front in Hilchus Tshuva, the second halacha in Hilchus Tshuva, that the Kohen Gadol is misvada on the Sarim Mishtalech Aloshon Kol Yisrael. What's this Aloshon Kol Yisrael? Why is it so significant? What message is the Rambam trying to convey? And moreover, this opening line in Halacha Beis is meant to lead into the follow-up, which is the second major statement here in the Rambam, that sets up the unique kapara power of the Sar HaMishtalech. Says the Rambam, Sar HaMishtalech mechaper al kol averos shebatorah, hakalos v'achamuros. The Rambam sets up the following classification. There are averos kalos, kalos with a kuf, and averos chamuros. Now, is there a difference between the two? And the Rambam says yes. The difference between kalos and chamuros is relevant to the potential kapara for someone who doesn't do tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, he's still a rasha. And here the Rambam differentiates in terms of the power, the kapara power of the Sar HaMishtaleach, between A, Averis Kalos, and B, Averis Chamuros. The Rambam says the following. The Sar HaMishtaleach is Mechaper, all-inclusive, even on Chamuros, V'hu Sha'asa Tshuva, but only if he does Tshuva. Im Lo Asa Tshuva, says the Rambam, Ein HaSoyer Mechaper Lo Ela Ala Kalos. So without Tshuva, the power inherent in the Sar HaMishtaleach is limited to Averis Kalos. It can be Mechaper only on Kalos. Now the Rambam asks, Umayin HaKalos, Umayin HaChamuros. And the Rambam goes on to say that kalos includes both esay and los aser. So for example, if a person would eat non-kosher food or wear shatnez, so violate yontif, and he doesn't do tshuva, the sire had the power to be mechaper for him, despite the fact that he's a Rasha. But on the other hand, says the Rambam, there's something called an avera chamura that has a chiyuv misas bezdin or even a chiyuv kares. So if a man, chas v'shalom, would have relations with his sister, which is a chiyuv kares, he would not achieve the kapara of sar v'shalach without tshuva. So we have to ask two questions. Question number one, why does the Rambam assume that lavim, that a los aser, like shatnez or like achilas nevela, etc., etc., would be called an avera kala? We never found anywhere in any context that violating a law for which you get malchus, if you did it b'mezid and in front of two edim with hasra, you would get 39 lashes. Call that, classify that as an avera kala? Hayitochein? It's not thinkable. But there's a more fundamental question here. The Gemara Masechta Yuma records a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chacham. Rebbe holds that the kapar of Yom HaKippurim is mechaper even for someone who doesn't do tshuva. The Chacham say, no, you need tshuva together with Yom HaKippurim. How is the Rambam paskening? Mimonavshach. If the Rambam accepts Rebbe Shita, then the kapara of the Sayer should be all-inclusive. Rebbe made no distinction when he said that there's kapara in Yom HaKippurim even for a Rosh who doesn't do tshuva between Averis Kalos and Averis Chamuros. The kapara of Rebbe, in his vision, is all-inclusive. But if on the other hand the Rambam passes like the Chachamim, then how could there be kapara, how could one achieve kapara through the Sayer Mishtalech on Averis Kalos without tshuva? The Chachamim always require tshuva. So the Rambam has this middle shita, a compromise of sorts, which doesn't reflect neither the Rebbe's shita nor the Chachamim's shita. So the Rav said something unbelievable. This I heard from the Rav in a tshuva drasha. The first piece that I told you about is written in a few places. It's written in a sefer called Avodas Yom HaKippurim by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He took notes and he wrote up, because the Rav, every year before Yom Kippur, used to give us shiurim on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It was the sugyas that he learned with his father when he was a child, that they were mechadish chidushim. And some of those chidushim are published in a sefer called Chidushi Agram VeHagrid Al Inyoni Kodshim. And other shtiklach are written up in a sefer by my friend Rav Michal Shurkin called Harei Kedem. So you take a look in Siman Ayin Gimel, you'll see a lot of what we discussed about the Hagrola, whether it's Makeves, whether it's a Psul Zorus, and what's the nature of the Psul Zorus. But this piece that I'm sharing with you now, or at least we'll begin now, is from the Rav in a Tshuva Drasha. The Rav said the following, that the kapara of Sarah Mishtaleach, as the Rambam indicates in his opening line here in Halacha Beis, is a kapara for the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Rambam emphasizes that the vidu is Hashem Kol Yisrael. The Rav explained that the concept of tzibur in Hilchas Kapara is a very unique concept. In Karbonos, for example, and I told you before, the essence of a Karbon is to generate Kapara, you can classify Karbonos under two fundamentally different classifications. One is a Karbon Yochid, and the other is a Karbon Tzibur. And the Rav explained that there's something called a Karbon Shutfim, where we all together are partners in one Karbon. That's a Karbon Yochid, because it's fundamentally different than a Karbon Tzibur, a Karbon Yachid means it's owned by a Yachid. Even if there are many shutfim, even if there would be 1,000 shutfim on one carbon, or 1,000,000 shutfim on, or even if you were to add together all the Jews that ever lived on the face of the earth, it would still remain a carbon shutfim. Every single individual has ownership on this carbon. The tzibur, on the other hand, is a whole new entity. The tzibur is greater than the sum of its parts. It's not just adding Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. But rather the tzibur represents this new guf, this new entity. Chativa achas. Miksha achas. It's not the sum total of all the individuals. Who owns this karban? The entire tzibur. And that tzibur incorporates all of the Jews throughout all the millennia for all time. But no individual Jew has bialus over the karban. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is that with regard to a carbon yachid, and for that matter, carbon shutfin, there's no kapar for a Rosh. A Rosh who doesn't do tshuva could not achieve the kapar through the carbon. Why? Because zevach rishoim toeva. The zevach of a Rosh is completely repugnant. It's completely repelled and rejected by a Kodesh Baruch. It doesn't have the power to be machap. If a Rosh has bialus on this particular carbon, I'm pointing here to a carbon, that carbon will not achieve kapar on behalf of Rosh. Zevach rishon toev. But not so in the case of tzibur. In the case of tzibur, since there's no individual, even if he's a Rosh, who can claim zevach rishon toev, this is my carbon. But rather, the carbon is owned under the bialus of tzibur, which is a separate entity unto itself. It is not owned by any particular person. The kapara power is so great that the entire tzibur achieves kapara, even the rishoyim amongst the tzibur. And another nafkamina the Rav pointed out is that with regard to
what about karis?
Okay, we're going to get to that. Excellent. And then another nafkamina is that ein tzibur mesim. You know, Chazal talk about an unbelievable situation where the Olei Bavel brought a carbon tzibur on behalf of those bialim who are already gone, from the people who died during the period of Golas by Rishon and then the Churban, because ain't that tzibur mesim? Tzibur never dies. Individuals die, but tzibur never dies. It never perishes. Says the Rav. The Rambam opens up Perek Aleph Halacha Beis of Hilchos Tshuva by establishing that the nature of the kapara, sorry, mishtaleach, is a carbon tzibur. The kapara is kapara sat tzibur. And the Rav used to point out that if you open up the machzor and you'll take a look at the nusach that Chazal would koveya for the chasima of any shmona esrei of the bracha emtzoyos, you'll notice that there is a certain, how should I say, a certain repetitious language. It says, Baruch atah Hashem, Melech mochel v'solech l'avonoseinu, u'lavonos amo beis Yisrael. I mean, avonoseinu and avonos amo beis Yisrael, why the repetition? Says the Rav, there are two halachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us forgiveness as individuals. That's called avonoseinu, each one of us, as individuals, yichidim. Ulavonos amo beis Yisrael as a tzibur. There's a separate kapara that comes down from Shamayim on Yom HaKippurim on behalf of the tzibur. That's the amazing power of Yom HaKippurim. The Rav said that the tzibur brings through the Kohen Gadol's actions a sarah mishtalech. It's machaper on the entire tzibur. Even the carbon has the mechaper power, even with regard to the Rishoyim. There's no psul of Zerach Rishon Toei because it's a carbon tzibur. But only under one condition. And that is that the individual is part of the tzibur. Through the pipelines of the tzibur, he can receive, he can achieve kapara, but only if he's part of the tzibur. Said the Rav, a Rasha who violates an essay or a losa, says still part of the tzibur, even though he's a Rasha. He hasn't yet excluded, cut himself off from the tzibur. At what point does he cross the red line? Does he pass all boundaries? He loses his status. He forfeits his status as a member, as a card-carrying member of the tzibur. Okay. And therefore, he cannot achieve the kapara, even the great kapara of Sar Mishtaleach, of the tzibur. And therefore, we understand two things now. We understand, A, what the difference is between an Avera Kala and Avera Chamura. An Avera Kala generates rishus, Hashem Rosh and Gavra, but still, it's not Mafkia, the Gavra, from being part of the Tzibur. On the other hand, an Avera Chamura uproots and vitiates the status of the Yochid as being part of the Tzibur. We now understand very well why, according to the Rambam, Sarya Meshtaleach is mechaper on kalos, insofar as it's an Avera kalo that doesn't remove you from the Tzibur, and insofar as the status of Sarya Meshtaleach as a Karbon HaTzibur, the Vidus Al Shein Kol Yisrael, but even though that's achieved without tshuva, not so with regard to Averis Chamurus. We understand why the Rambam opens up this halacha with the fact that the Vidya is Al Shem Kol Yisrael. And we understand why this is so central to the Rambam's whole discussion about tshuva and kapara here. Because he wants to establish that there's another mechanism by which tshuva and kapara is achieved. I shouldn't say tshuva, but at least kapara is achieved. And that is through the tzibur, as long as you're part of the tzibur.
And tshuva brings him back into the tzibur?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. If he does tshuva, he re-enters into the tzibur. He doesn't need gerus. He doesn't have to go to a mikvah for that. There's the tshuva itself. He removes the shame rasha. And he re-enters into the tzibur. He's a card-carrying member of the tzibur. And therefore, he can achieve kapara of sarev shtaleach, even for an avera chamura, even for a chet of kareis, even for a chet of mises pesen. That karbon of Sar Meshtalech we don't have today. What we have today is the Yitzuma Shal Yom Mechaper. But the Yitzuma Shal Yom Mechaper L'Shavim, the Rambam paskens, you have to do tshuva to achieve Bizman Azeh, the Kapara power of the Yitzuma Shal Yom. But at the time in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why we long so much for the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol did the Avoda of the Shnei HaSeirim, including the Sar Meshtalech, that power of the kapara of the Sarah Meshtalech on behalf of the Tzibur could bring kapara even for a Rosh who doesn't do tshuva, as long as he didn't overstep the bounds, as long as he's still part of the Tzibur, his Avera only reached the level of Avera Kala. That aspect of kapara we no longer have today. See, Yiratzon, we'll stop here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us mercy and chesed and rachamim, bring back the avodas kohen gadol at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we'll be zochet to the Shnei HaSeirim, we'll participate in that great simcha of the kohen gadol coming out of the kodshei kodshim, of the Lashon Zahuris turning white, of Nasis mitzvos of the kapara on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael through the Sarya Meshtaleach, v'mehirav yameinu, amen.